bitches ain't running shit but y'all's mouths. God, I love 3-6 Mafia. If Memphis has done nothing else, and they haven't, Memphis at least gave us the majesty that was Oscar-winning rap supergroup 3-6 Mafia. Joining me is Doug. Holly will chime in from the background. I know she will. I know.
Uh-uh.
No, yeah, see, already! We're going to be discussing UCF versus Georgia in the Liberty Bowl. Doug, this is exactly where you intended to end up at the beginning of the season, right?
Oh, precisely, yes. Now, there are so many metaphors for this season. I'll start out with by borrowing one that I actually used when Holly solicited from a bunch of us our top 10 best and 10 worst movies from 2010 list. And I put the movie Cop Out as my worst movie of 2010 because it was like so many ingredients that I liked. Like love Tracy Morgan, love Bruce Willis, love buddy cop movies, Kevin Smith's funny, and yet together it turned out to be this god-awful, unfunny, half-assed shit sandwich of a movie that we both hated. And Georgia's 2010 season is kind of the same way. Like our freshman quarterback, who we weren't sure how he'd do, he turned out to be great. The defense, while not great, was certainly improved from 2009. We turned the turnover margin around, which killed us last year. Everything should have gone our way, and yet we end up 6-6, and everyone's like, "Oh, great, Liberty Bowl." So this was one of those situations where all the ingredients were there, and yet the cooking just left quite a bit to be desired. Is all I can say.
No one understands what a disastrous quick fire this was for you. Like, this really was like Top Chef. It was like a challenge gone completely wrong, because if you remember, Georgia was picked to win the SEC East. That was the way this was supposed to go.
I think a lot of people still thought that Florida was going to take it, if for no other reason than because Georgia, even when they were good, still hadn't demonstrated an ability to beat Florida consistently or at all in Jacksonville. But yeah, no, I mean, it was not outside the realm of possibility, let's put it that way, for Georgia to win a down SEC East this year. And yet, I mean, if Gordon Ramsay is screaming at Mark Richt right now and calling him a faggot and telling him that he'll never amount to anything and to get out of his kitchen because the ingredients have just been made such a hash of this year.
Get out of my kitchen, Mike Bobo! He'll never say that. You know he won't.
No.
No, he's fired. He's fired the one assistant. The next assistant who has to go leaves with him. That's how this works.
But there's, I mean, you get one massive staff shakeup, and that's it. I mean, if there has to be a second staff shakeup, then you're the one who's leading the charge out of the university.
There are some positives, though. I mean, I will say this is, but finishing up the prior thought, never has a team had such ill-timed turnovers, such astonishingly bad luck, and such off-the-chart performances by terrible teams. Like, not beating Florida this year may be the ultimate ignominy of ignominies, because it came down to an overtime with the team playing three quarterbacks with a team that had a punter as their field goal kicker making the winning kick. That, to me, that's just a bad night at the casino.
That's God saying, you know what? No, you don't get to. Sorry. Love you all. You're good people. But no, you just don't get to be happy. That's all that is.
That's just probability not working for you. That's really what that is. I would also like to recognize that this is a bit of a UGA Georgia Tech undercurrent that we have here, because you'll be facing George O'Leary.
Remember, yes.
All George O'Leary does is win football games and occasionally kill football players.
Not a big fan of George O'Leary, but I'm excited for about this game for that very reason.
Yeah, that's George O'Leary at UCF doing a phenomenal job. I mean, really, doing a really great job. And, you know, we're joking about that whole killing kids thing. He's never killed kids. His conditioning program has.
He's tried to, but he tried to get Dustin Vitekunas killed, that offensive lineman that he sicked for D-line guys on back when he was at Georgia Tech, and caused him to leave and transfer away from the program somewhat acrimoniously. But yeah, Eric Plancher at UCF, yeah, did die.
Yeah.
Because of the conditioning.
No, seriously, he's dead. This team is exactly what you would think a George O'Leary team would be. I mean, they are a run first, drop back passing kind of offense. They are a undersized but tough defense, and ended up having a phenomenal year for them. I mean, their losses, they lost to Kansas State. That happens. They lost to North Carolina State, a very good North Carolina State team. They only lost 28-21. And then they ended up losing to Southern Miss. So really, in terms of how their year played out, winning the Conference USA championship against a very, very, I think, a good Conference USA. Keep in mind, that's like saying a really good meal at Hardee's, right? Like, it's an astonishing thick burger I had.
It's seriously, Hardee's, the meal thing you've got going on now with two double cheeseburgers and two fries in a box that one person is meant to eat. Just stop. Stop what you're doing. You are killing this country. Just stop, please, for the love of God. I'm sorry. Continue.
Remember, Hardee's is itself not so much its own restaurant as it is a confluence of all of the latest trends of other restaurants. Right? That's really all they are. They're kind of like the Now That's Music of restaurants, right? They're like all the hit songs in one place.
Hardee's could be a Chinese plot to turn us all into the fat, lazy people at the end of Wall-E, and then right when we get to the point where there's absolutely no way we can fend for ourselves because we're too fat and our muscles have atrophied too much, that's when they invade us and take over the world.
We have the Liberty Bowl in Memphis, and you should know that Memphis has a number of attractions. They do, really. No, seriously. First, you can
go. They got a pyramid.
They do. They also have the OJs performing at halftime.
Really? That I did not know.
Yeah, they do.
Well, why are we in Knoxville, Holly? Come on. I mean, in Oakland, whatever.
I like that their exhortation on the website is, ring in the new year on Beale Street, visit Graceland, the National Civil Rights Museum, and enjoy the best barbecue in the world. Okay, let's review, okay? First, you could ring in the new year on Beale Street, where it's going to be cold, and you might get mugged. You could visit Graceland, which, if you've done, there's a...
Also cold,
and with the tire shop right over the fence. It's not the most inspiring place. It kind of says, hey, if you're poor and you get wealthy, it's still going to suck and you're probably going to kill yourself, accidentally or intentionally. Then you can go to the National Civil Rights Museum, which I'll admit, while important, not exactly the most uplifting thing at times. You're like, what'd you do? I went and looked at pictures of black kids getting hit with, fire hoses for 2 hours. That's what I did. And then enjoy the best barbecue in the world. So really, the trajectory of this is eat your sadness. Go do these following things, and then eat your sadness. That's a great plan, Liberty Bowl.
Can I make a pitch here for the Liberty Bowl, though? Because, I mean, as much of a punchline as it's kind of turned into, because it's steadily decreased in stature over the years until now it's pitting like a lower-tier SEC team against the Conference USA champion. But the Liberty Bowl used to be something, man. No, shut up, Holly. Shut up, you guys. Really, shut up. The Liberty Bowl was where Bear Bryant played his last game. They beat Illinois, I think, in the 82 Liberty Bowl. That's a big deal. You know, the two teams you've got, on the one hand, you've got Georgia, who was huge in the early 80s, has kind of, then like the one linchpin that kind of held everything together, he left, and things kind of have struggled to get on any kind of footing since then. I mean, that's punk rock, man. That's the Clash right there. That is punk. That is the Clash and the Sex Pistols right there. Then you've got UCF, who, an up and coming kind of trendy team. If you want to be the guy that's like, yeah, no, I was with them, before they were popular, before anyone had ever heard of them, they're gonna be big and they're gonna get snapped up by the Big East before too long. So if you want to be the trendy guy, get in, join that ship now, jump on that boat now. With those two teams and the history that the Liberty Bowl has, this is like the altest bowl of the entire bowl season. If you hipsters want to see a bowl, if you want to get down with something that is like a diamond in the rough, a cool thing that no one else is down with yet, get on board with the Liberty Bowl, man. It is alt as fuck, and that's all I'm gonna say.
Okay.
I'm gonna hang up and listen, Paul.
You made a really compelling contrarian hipster case for the validity of the Liberty Bowl, and I'm sure the Liberty Bowl appreciates that. I'll also remind you that you can't lose this game. I'm addressing you as Georgia, but you, Doug, you can't lose this game.
I told him the same thing last night. He got mad. He's like, don't put that on me.
Do you mean can't as in it is impossible, or can't as in shouldn't, or we will make fun of you? Because don't think that it's impossible for us to lose this game.
No. You're out of the family. Like, Georgia's out of the SEC.
You're off the masthead, son.
Well, now, here's what's fortunate about this, though. This is a great game for hipsters. It's also a great game for gamblers. Because you will know within 5 minutes of the start of this game what's going to happen. If Georgia rockets down the field, scores, and then holds UCF scoreless on their first drive, Georgia's going to win big. Don't even worry about it. If UCF gets the ball first and they just get first down after first down on that first drive and score a touchdown in like 2.5 minutes, forget it. Because when Georgia has allowed the other team to score on their opening drive, we've just gotten our asses handed to us this year. So you will not have to wait long to have all the suspense removed from this game and know exactly what is going to transpire this afternoon.
I really sincerely hope not. We're now 0-1 now. Thanks to someone's inability to kick an extra point.
Nope. La 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 la.
An extra point.
La 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 la.
So, as I said, with this podcast where it's only Doug and I talking, aren't there dishes that need to be washed?
He said it, not me, baby.
Button.
But yeah, you can't lose this game. I'm putting that on Georgia here, because this is bad.
That on us, because that we shouldn't lose this game, but we can lose this game.
No, I'm sorry. You've already got shit heels from the Big Ten going 2-0. In games they should have lost, damn it. Can't believe Illinois beat Baylor. You can't lose to UCF. It's going to be a bad year for the SEC in bowl games, and then we have to listen to that for another 7 months.
Woo!
Well, and the thing is, though, that, like, for, again, if you've got a short attention span, another group of people who will be greatly enthralled by the Liberty Bowl. If you've got a short attention span and can only devote your time to the first 10 minutes of this game, tune in because you'll know what's going to happen.
You're going to have to repeat that because honestly, I was distracted.